is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Fight the fight of faith, understanding that there's influences that are coming from the outside that are not of the Lord, and that there is a work that God wants to do in our life that causes us to make a difference in the world. As long as we're not aware of that, He's okay with it. He's okay with church. He's okay with anything but that, because then we make no difference. So He's the ultimate influence, doing whatever He can to throw people off so that they don't know and worship the one true God.
Many believers are just breezing through life with little thought for the enemy of our faith. This place seems much more pleasant if we just ignore Satan's existence and the way he's working in this world. As Pastor Troy warns in today's message, the problem with that approach is that it makes us vulnerable to the subtle ways that Satan sneaks into our lives. If we aren't actively fighting him, we can't count on the fact that he is not sitting idly by. He's an opportunist. He'll take advantage of our ignorance. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Ephesians chapter 6 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Someone this morning said, I said some hard things. And all it is the Bible, actually. You know, we're growing up being told there's no boogeyman. And we like it that way. And the truth is, there is no boogeyman. However, I am going to tell you there is a devil. And he's real. And we happen to be in the portion of Scripture that we're told about the warfare that we are going to be in as Christians. You know, sooner or later, every Christian finds out that when you give your life to Christ and you begin to follow him, you're not following him across a playground. You're following him through a battleground. We're not tippy-toeing through the tulips. It can be challenging. And we have an enemy that amps things up to try to take us off course any way he can. We'll talk about some of those ways today. It's been said, those who don't believe in the devil have never been confronted by him. And that's probably because they're walking in the same direction as him. In other words, we're not being bugged because we're no bother to him. We're not making a big difference anyway. Charles Finney, an American Presbyterian minister and leader in the Second Great Awakening in the United States in the 1800s, was approached by a professing believer who was pretty content in his religion. And he said, "Pastor, I don't really believe there is a devil. I don't believe in such a thing." Not allowing himself to get drawn into a senseless debate or argument, Charles Finney replied, "Sir, if you resist him for a while like I have, you will have no doubt that he exists." Paul the Apostle, who's writing this letter to the Ephesians, has made us aware in the first three chapters of the wealth that we have, how much we have in Christ, everything that we have at our disposal, the way he looks at us. So we're no longer anchored down by our past. We're freed to move forward and to follow him with our whole heart. And he's told us all that we have to do the work and the will of God with. And then he transitioned from the wealth to the walk. He said, "Now, since you have all of that, therefore, here's the walk that ought to come from your life." And we talked about the walk. And finally, now we begin the warfare we are in as believers. I don't know if you're a passive person or not, but you're in this battle whether you like it or not. It doesn't matter what you think, what you wish, how passive you'd like to be. To not engage yourself and be aware of this battle is to be defeated. You're going to walk around defeated a lot. thinking that you really are in control, that you really do have things under control. If you're passive in this battle, you're going to find yourself defeated often. So let's talk about the real enemy we face so that we can make sure that when we fight the battles, we're fighting the right battles and the right way. Because it's been said that 90% of the battle in the area of spiritual warfare is simply being aware that the battle exists. So in verse 10, we read, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So the first thing we'll talk about being aware of the real enemy, is the head. It refers to as the devil. Here, Paul calls out the one who is heading up the battle against God, or against his people, the devil. So who is he? Well, people's beliefs concerning him range from silly to very abstract, from being a little red guy with horns, cute but mean, sitting on a shoulder, whispering into the minds and hearts of individuals bad things to do. But then on the other side, he's been defined as an expression. Just the term "the devil" is just an expression to describe or personify the existence of evil in the world. He doesn't exist. It's just an expression that we use. But the Bible gives us a clear picture of who Satan is and how he affects our lives. Simply put, the Bible teaches us that Satan is an angelic being who fell from his position in heaven due to sin and is now completely opposed to God, doing all in his power to thwart the purposes of God. As a Christian, when you give your life to the Lord, you become a child of God. Guess what happens? You inherit the enemies of God. Doesn't matter how cute and lovable you may be. Doesn't matter if you don't want to engage in the fight. Like, I'm going to walk neutral. I don't want to fight an enemy who's more powerful than me. It doesn't matter. You're engaged in this battle, and he still wants to neutralize you and ultimately to destroy you. He was cast out of heaven before the fall of man, which is why we saw him in the garden, stumbling man, the one who God had set his heart upon. And just as there are prophecies in the Old Testament, in the scriptures, that give us insight into the coming of Christ and into the second coming of Christ, there are a few that give us insight into who Satan is as well. So we'll have a prophecy speaking towards a king or about a king or a judgment that's to come. And then we see hope or something, and we see a prophecy about a coming Messiah who would be born of a virgin. We just see it integrated into the message of God to his people. Well, we see that same kind of a thing every now and then as we're reminded of Satan, who we saw in the garden, who has a plan to destroy and take away and take down everyone that he can. So in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, we see one of those prophecies toward the king of Babylon. However, we see this departure, like this prophecy morphs into something like, we're not talking about that guy anymore. What's up? And then we see a lot about Satan and his fall, and then we go back into that prophecy. And I don't think it's that this has nothing to do with this guy. I think it's just bringing out what's behind this guy, what's going on. And so in Isaiah 14, 12, it says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations." Jesus, when he sent out his disciples and gave them a test ride, you know, to go out and speak to people in my name. And they went out and they did it and they came back victorious. They started to brag. "Oh, we did this. You should have seen it. This was awesome." And he says, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning." The idea wasn't, "Good, you guys are casting out Satan." No, Satan had been cast out. He was saying, "Look, this, be careful that you don't get too puffed up, because I saw Satan get puffed up and he was cast out." In fact, he tells him right after that, says, "But rather than boasting about that, rather be blessed, glad, be thankful that your names are written in the book of life." That's what you should be thankful for. Not that you're all that. It was pride that caused the fall of Satan. We continue in Isaiah 14, 12, verse 13 now. For you have said in your heart, this is why he fell, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Now that was the heart of the king of Babylon, and he definitely had to be brought low. But this is also like a parallel of exactly what happened to Satan. When he influences, you see the fingerprints, the character of Satan in those things that he influences. He's called the devil. The devil is accuser, slanderer. That's what the devil means. Someone who's always accusing, always calling out, always slandering someone else. Satan's name means adversary, as in the adversary of God, the one who opposes him and opposes his people. He's called the tempter, a murderer, and a liar. In fact, the father of lies. He's compared to a lion, being spoken of as seeking to devour who he can, looking around to see whoever has a weak point. And weakness doesn't necessarily mean you're weak and defenseless. It could be that you're overset in your own pride and you have buttons that can be pushed that cause you to and fight and defend and get angry and get off course. He looks for all weaknesses and he pushes the buttons any way he can. And we'll talk about what he uses to do that in a moment. He's been called a lion, a serpent, meaning he's crafty, deceitful, an angel of light, meaning that in spiritual matters, he also deceives. He gives nice spiritual counsel. He says some nice spiritual things, but it's deception. It's to get us off spiritually. A dragon, meaning there's strength, finesse, and a wisdom, not a godly wisdom, as well as the God of this age, he's been called. That means he has primary sway over this world.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter, and book-by-book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4 say this, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Satan is the ultimate influencer. He's the ultimate influence behind every false cult. Well, every cult is false. And every false religious system. You know, Satan's not opposed to doing good deeds. He's not opposed to religion. As long as you don't find out who God is and follow him with all of your heart. As long as you don't have the truth. He's okay with religion. In fact, I think he'd love to do nothing more than turn the church into a weak, watered down, without power social group, the church. You believe in God? Yeah. Can you explain what that means? Can you explain salvation? Do you want me to be born again? I don't know. I'm not into doctrine. I just believe in the Lord, and we come together and we celebrate and we're Christians. Satan's okay with that. What he doesn't want us to do is get in this battle to know the truth that sets us free, to follow wholeheartedly after the Lord, and to fight the fight of faith. understanding that there's influences that are coming from the outside that are not of the Lord, and that there is a work that God wants to do in our life that causes us to make a difference in the world. As long as we're not aware of that, he's okay with it. He's okay with church. He's okay with anything but that, because then we make no difference. So he's the ultimate influence, doing whatever he can to throw people off so that they don't know and worship the one true God. And that's why one of the things that Jesus emphasized when he came was he said, I came that you may know the truth, because truth exists and truth matters. Now, here's some good truth. I've already given you nightmares tonight. Boogeyman doesn't exist, but someone worse does. But that's the bad news. The good news is this. Satan is not God's equal. We have a misunderstanding that there's God and there's Satan. When I was a child, that was the way I saw it. There's God and there's Satan. They're the opposites. Now, when it comes to character and good and evil, that could be true. God is good. He's perfect. There's no wickedness in Satan. There's nothing good. The only good that Satan does is he will be honest about you and I, because we give him enough to be honest about when he accuses us. But other than that, he's a deceiver and a liar, and he's a destroyer. He's the opposite of God. When it comes to power, though, he's not the opposite of God. He's created. He's not going to stand. We're not watching, hopefully, in the end. I hope the Lord wins in the end, because we already know who wins. God is God. He's sovereign. He created. But there's a plan unfolding that we don't know all of the details of, for whatever reason. And as that unfolds, there's an enemy wreaking havoc in the world. He's not like God in the sense that he's not all-knowing. He doesn't know everything, although it feels like it. See, we have things like intuition. We can look at context. We know history. We know someone's history. And we can make very good guesses about certain things. The FBI, the police department, they're trained to do certain things. Character, they look at a character and they can kind of anticipate the moves of somebody by their internet usage and everything else. So they can predict things very, very well. That's us with our technology. Satan is far above our technology. He can anticipate, he can predict, he can do so many things because he sees things on a whole different level. And so it seems like he's all-knowing, but he's not. He's not all-knowing. He's also not all-powerful. I've already said that he's created, and one day he will be in hell with everyone else, and not the leader of hell, but being tormented just like everyone else in the worst place. He's not everywhere present. Satan's not everywhere. When we start to talk about Satan and we start casting out Satan, he doesn't even hear us, actually. He's not concerned with us. He's not. Don't lift yourself up so much to think Satan himself, the leader of the dark side, cares about, you know, you personally. We're going to talk about who does, but not him personally. He's probably more concerned with the Middle East, Israel, that area that Jesus said, I'm coming back to. That's his primary concern. Between heaven and making accusations to every name that comes his way, to trying to destroy governments and what's going on in Israel and the way that God said, or Jesus said, he's going to return there. He's trying to destroy that. So since he's not everywhere and he's creating so much havoc everywhere, how is that possible? How does he accomplish so much chaos in so many parts of the world? Well, guess what? He's organized, and he has organized help. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So now that we talked about the head, let's talk about the helpers, because he has some. This refers to a definite army with different roles and different purposes of demonic creatures who assist Satan in his attacks against the world. Satan's the head. They're not unorganized. Even Jesus said, when they said that he was casting out demons by Beelzebub, he said, a house divided can't stand. Even Satan knows that. They're not divided. They're united. against us. They're very well oiled. They're a good machine, and they know exactly what to do. In Revelation, the book of Revelation, we see a vision. It's a picture of a dragon. The dragon was cast out, and he took a third of the stars with him. It's a picture of him being cast out, Satan being cast out, and a third of the stars representing the angels being cast out with him who followed him, these powers and principalities. And they have been on board with the destruction and the thwarting of God's plan ever since. And in that vision of the devil or the dragon being cast down, it says that he went and found the woman. He was searching for the woman, found the woman who was dressed, clothed in the sun and the moon and the 12 stars. We know that's a vision from Genesis that was given. Joseph had a dream, and his family, Israel, was that woman, was the 12 stars, the sun and the moon. And so you transport that vision and you see this dragon who's going after that vision, that woman. And there's something important about this woman. This woman was going to give birth, not to the church, but to a child. And that child was going to be the Messiah, the promised one to come. And the devil, the dragon, was going after to try to prevent that child from being born. That's what all the invisible war is behind the scenes in the Old Testament. But he couldn't prevent it. And eventually that child was caught up to heaven. I know that's where we can confuse the church. It's the church. Isn't that the rapture? No, that's not the rapture there. That's Jesus' ascension. And he went up, and the devil, it says, he knew he didn't have much time. He'd lost. And so he went after the people. He went after Israel specifically at that time to try to destroy, to try to prevent any further promises from being able to take place. So we see it in Revelation. We also hear about it in Daniel chapter 10, where we get insight that Satan is stirring up things and that there's this struggle in the heavenlies, in this realm we don't see, for nations and the kings of those nations to take their heart away from anything that would resemble following God, and to pit them against each other and to destroy and ultimately turn them against maybe that nation that the Lord depends upon being in existence when he comes and returns. So we see all of this. We wonder about, well, I mean, I don't know. That's kind of weird. It's like a fairy tale, invisible realm going on, battling. But let me just say, we as human beings have invented our own invisible realm that we do know about. If you were to take a receiver right now and tune in, you'd be able to pick up not only audio, but pictures. You'd be able to tune those things in if you had a receiver. So if we are able to produce something like that with radio waves or airwaves or whatever those are, don't you know that God is far more advanced than us and that there actually is this realm that he speaks about? We'll talk about some good news or some more good news later, but one thing that's good is that if one third fell, that means that two-thirds did not. And that means if you know math at all, that's 2 to 1. Good angels versus the bad angels. So we have help. You know, people talk about a guardian angel. We may not necessarily have Clarence watching over us. Clarence the guardian angel. But trust me, if the good angels weren't fighting, we would know it. There is a battle going on.
That's all the time we have for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Pastor Troy Neely will return soon with more from his verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the book of Ephesians. But in the meantime, we'd like to hear from you. Send us an email at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program or about how what you've heard today can be applied to your own life. We'd also like to encourage you to get involved in a local church. And if you live in or are visiting the San Antonio, Texas area, why not come by Calvary Chapel Solid Rock? Our church meets every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 7 p.m. At each service, you'll be able to join us for a time of fellowship, Bible study, and worship. Go to buildingonthesolidrock.com for more information, and be sure to tune in again for more from the book of Ephesians, right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in